Good evening, everyone. I'm your host, Joe Cristiano, and welcome to Liberty Talk Radio, America's libertarian voice and independent streaming internet radio station, broadcasting 24 hours a day, 7 days a week from our studio in Tulsa, Oklahoma, to around the world. This broadcast is being brought to you live on Sunday evening, June 8, 2008. It is now 8:01 p.m. Central Daylight Time in the good old USA. Folks, it's time for us to take back control of our government now before this bureaucratic, oversized, and self-serving federal government starves us of our property, our freedom, our rights, and our liberty. To do this, we must shed conventional thinking. We need to be revolutionaries in thought, dissidents in action. Only after we recognize what our government is doing to our freedom and our Constitution will we start taking it back. And this program is just about that. Well, good evening, everyone. We invite you to call this evening into our show, 646-652-4620. That's 646-652-4620. And we'll take your comments while on the air. We have 5 lines open this evening, so please make use of them. You can also send us email at any time to comments@libertytalkradio.com. We also have a phone-in number now, which is area code 918. 919-0101. If we do not answer the phone, please do leave a message and we'll respond to your questions or comments on during our next broadcast. This evening we are going to discuss a little bit about Bob Barr and where we think he stands in this whole libertarian movement. Before we go there, I'd like to set some parameters and about libertarianism. This should be an educational program. This should not be one in which I just get on the air and rant, although it does seem that I accomplish that with true acumen. But the libertarian principles do not seem to be understood. I want to give an example. So I'll give you several examples before we start, and they'll be short. I had the opportunity to listen to certain blog talk radio programs the other day. My son got me some fancy headsets where I can speak into my computer and listen to them at the same time, and it is crystal clear. It was really a neat gift that he got me. And I decided to call into a radio station. It was a political show going on live, and it was the host was a black person, and I called in and gave my opinion, and he was very respectful, didn't argue, but he did ask me my opinion after I gave him my opinion on another subject, who I thought would be best as a vice president for Barack Obama. Oh, let me preface that by saying he was talking about about Bill Clinton and his office in Harlem, and I chimed in and I said, I find that objectionable. I said, I am from Harlem. I'm from the streets of Harlem. I know Harlem. Harlem has a rich history. If you're not from the streets of Harlem, you're not from that neighborhood. You're just not from that territory. And I said, I go way back in Harlem. And I said, by Bill Clinton claiming that he has an office in Harlem, I said, that's more political rhetoric, like, look, I'm one of you. I said, I don't think he is any more one with Harlem as I am one with the White House right now. And I just made that comment, and I stayed on the air, and he said, caller, since you're still on the air, let me ask you who you would like for Barack Obama to select as vice president. Now, I'll be honest with you, I have no idea who would be a good vice president for Barack Obama. But I do know the type of person that is required for that job. And I answered by saying, it needs to be someone who can respect individual effort, who respects the individual initiative of our population, one that prides into hard work, someone who will make it on their own and will not ask for government assistance. Someone who will shun government assistance. Someone who will take it upon themselves to work out their problems. And if they cannot, in and by themselves, they belong to a community. And in this community, there are support systems. And we all support one another. I would support you, you would support me. Someone who will downplay the role of big government. And it was surprising the response that I received from this gentleman. And he was very respectful, by the way, extremely respectful. I really enjoyed it. I enjoyed listening to him. He said, well, you sound a little bit like John F. Kennedy. I said, you're right. He said, you know, ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country type thing. I said, yes, you're right. And I said, today, I think Kennedy would be considered a wacko conservative compared to who's running now. And I just kept it there. I didn't want to get into didn't tell him I was libertarian or anything, but he knew I came from Harlem. And I thought that was kind of neat. Now, I have an accent from New York, but I don't have a black accent, so I suspect he thought I was probably white. I don't know. But it was very enjoyable. Now, let me follow it up. Then I called a station that was by a female white gal. And they were talking about the immigration issue, another sort of political type blog talk radio program. And I had mentioned, I said, well, I've been listening to your program. I've been enjoying it. I have a question, though. I said, how do we justify? I said, aren't we a little disingenuous when we say you can't come in when really our forefathers came here, imposed themselves on the Indians, engaged in genocide, killed millions, almost the entire Indian population, took their land. Then, after we were at war with Mexico, we took the entire southern part of what is now the United States from Mexico because they didn't have the army to defend it. We took it ourselves. And once we said, ha-ha, this is ours because we outgunned you, now you cannot come in. I said, don't we feel a little disingenuous? Well, you know what they did? It was interesting. They called me a nutcake, not to go back in ancient history, and they hung up on me. I didn't argue with them. I was trying to be very respectful. I was giving a point of view. They wouldn't even accept that point of view. Now, with the former station, when I gave my opinion about who Obama should have as a running mate, and I mentioned individual responsibility, although they were respectful, they didn't argue, they didn't disagree, what they did was probably a little worse. They said absolutely nothing. Now, folks, absolutely nothing is not an option. When we are looking at our country today and the shape that it is in, saying nothing is not an option. An option is only the formula for failure. And we are failing as a country. I was just listening to my friend Andy Sutton's blog talk radio broadcast. He was talking about the financial situation today and what happened on Friday with the Dow going down 400 points, gold and silver going up, oil going up, and how the solution is that we need to get the government involved. And Andy says what I say. When are people going to realize that government involvement is the instrument which is creating the environment whereby these prices can be justified by those people outside of the United States? Now, folks, don't let me preach here. I'm Joe Cristiano, your host of Liberty Talk Radio. Our number is 646-652-4620. We have a 45-minute broadcast. We have about 35 minutes to go, and I don't want to preach for 35 minutes, please. My point is we keep on looking toward the government. The government must do something. When are we going to realize that we want the government to do absolutely nothing? People talk about there are speculators out there. We've got to do something with the speculators. Well, folks, if you ever bought a share of stock, you're a speculator. You're speculating that the stock will go up or down depending if you bought it long or short. We are always speculating. We look for a house. Don't we speculate? We say, well, I wonder how much they're going to ask for it. We'll give them a bid for this much. We speculate. We are speculating all day long. How is the government going to stop that? Are they going to hire 300 million people to listen to every conversation we have to determine whether or not we're speculating during the day? And yet the likes of McCain and Obama. And let me tell you, I am so disappointed. I mean, not disappointed. I shouldn't say disappointed. I expected it, but still disappointed in Hillary giving this speech that she gave on Saturday. And what she did is she said, here is my campaign speech for 2012. This is my kickoff meeting. Someone should have stood up and said, Hillary, sit down, bury it. It's over. She can't do that. She needs to do that. We need her to do that. She's $30 million in debt, and who's going to pick up that tab? I have a sneaking suspicion I'm going to pay for it somehow. Don't ask me how or why, but, you know, that's the way it'll work out. This is very disturbing, folks. People outside the United States are looking in, and they are punishing us for our ills. They do not want Federal Reserve notes because they know they are becoming more worthless. And as they become more worthless, they say, no, we don't want $125 for a barrel of crude. We want $135. The risk is increasing. And we at home sit here listening to gobbledygook, absolute manure coming out of politicians' mouth, candidates for president, people who should be seeing us through the next 4 years. And folks, I am not impressed at all. I am embarrassed. I'm ashamed. And I wish there was someone out there carrying the torch. There is no one so far who truly understands the concept of freedom. There was a gentleman on CNBC, and by the way, I think CNBC is going down the tubes. On Wednesday, everything was fine. They were literally suggesting to people to sell all your commodities. Get out of oil. Oil was going to plummet $15 tomorrow, at least. Sell everything. Everything is fine now. The Dow is poised, as they say. The Dow is poised, as if the Dow was a human being. It's poised to exceed 13 to 14,000. 16,000 within the next 3 months. Everything is fine. $90 trillion in unfunded debt is fine all of a sudden because one company may have announced better than expected earnings by 1 or 2 cents. And I sit there and wonder, and I know I have either one, lost my mind, or I'm sitting in a living room on the wrong planet. And we need to be that critical. Well, what happened next day? Everything went. One character who I really dislike his attitude. Now, most of the guys are kind of neutral. I mean, they're nice guys and all that. They're not too bright, I'll be honest with you, but they're nice guys. This guy's arrogant, and I won't give his name. No need to. He actually gets on there and he says, you know, the mortgage crisis is really bunk. Now, listen to this logic, folks. The mortgage crisis is bunk. It really doesn't exist. It's just been blown out of proportion. And he has this graph, which is just one big rectangular, long rectangular bar. It looks like one of the World Trade Center buildings. And he says this bar represents all of the mortgages outstanding in the United States. And then he drew a line halfway through the bar and said, well, half of the mortgages are already paid for. People own their homes. So half are fine. They are unaffected by this subprime mortgage and special investment vehicle rot. I didn't understand his logic there. And then he goes on to say, and then X number of percent have so much paid off and are current. And then so much are just so much past due. And then there's just this small portion on the bottom, which are subprime mortgages. And I stood there, and first I could not believe what I was hearing, because someone put this guy on the air and allowed him to say that. And my response is, if you're going to do that, why don't you compare the subprime loans that were given out in the past year or 2 years or 3 years with all of the mortgages that were given out, that were granted during in the entire planet Earth for the past 4,000 years, and then do with the division? Then it really becomes insignificant. What does that have to do with the price of beans in Denmark? What he should have, his arithmetic should have told us that of the number of mortgages that were granted in 2007, X percent went bad. Not the ones that were taken out in 1905 and paid off in 1935. My goodness gracious. And with that, he concludes that there is no mortgage crisis. The next day, the bond insurers all got down. The major bond insurers got downgraded. All hell broke loose. And we realize, folks, that there is, in fact, a mortgage crisis. Now, folks, don't let me sit here. It's Sunday evening. I had an operation on my knee. I am in tremendous pain. I'll be honest with you. I will get through this broadcast one way, shape, or form. And I am on pain medication because the pain is terrific. If you've ever had surgery in your knee, it's not a fun thing to do. And I should not be sitting on this chair because I cannot raise my knee by the microphone. But do call in 646-652-4620. My name is Joe Cristiano. I'm your host of Liberty Talk Radio. I would like to hear your point of view. Pro, con, anything. Please give me a call. 646-652-4620. If you are listening to me during a rebroadcast, I would like for you to call area code 918-919-0101 and leave a message. I will respond to your questions during our next broadcast, which will be Thursday morning at 6:30 a.m. Okay, 3.5 days from today, from now. Okay, here are a couple other things. We should be a nation of outraged patriots. And we're not. We are a nation of slaves. Now, not slaves in the same manner that we talked about slavery prior to the Civil War. I'm talking about slaves to the government because the government buys us and we are beholden to the government, and then we, as we, in exchange, folks, in exchange for the government's generosity, we in turn must abide by the rules and regulations of the bureaucracy of the government, and we are now subject to the government. Folks, we are slaves. I'll give you an example. They on TV, this is beautiful. They are literally talking about enacting congressional legislation so that it would be mandatory for anyone applying for a loan to go for loan counseling so they would know the risks involved. Now, on the surface, of course, because we have a dumb, idiotic populace, we go, hey, geez, that's good, man. I'm glad they got that so these people won't get screwed, right? This is the mentality of the average American. We should be ashamed. Just think about that. Why didn't we have loan counseling congressionally? Congressionally mandated loan counseling back in the 1940s and 50s and all throughout the entire decade of the 20th century. The reason for that, folks, is because there was a vested interest by the banks to make certain that the loan was good. When I applied for a loan years and years ago, I was 34 years ago, for the house that I currently occupy, the bank wanted to know everything about me. I remember the application was so long, my goodness gracious, they wanted to know everything. I had an excellent job. I was a family man. I didn't have, never passed due on anything, and it took weeks for that loan to be approved. I had absolutely perfect credit. I had an excellent job with a major oil company, and yet it took weeks to get approved, several days or over a week to get approved. Now, why do the banks do that? Well, because if I defaulted on the mortgage, the bank would become, in effect, a landlord, would own the property, would have to repossess the home, and then have to resell it and possibly take a loss in that transaction. I mean, the cost involved is phenomenal, in addition to all the legal fees. So they wanted to make sure that if they gave me a loan, although it was secured, I wasn't going anywhere, this place has a foundation and I ain't moving it. I'm not going anywhere. I cannot move. They know where I am. I've got to make those payments or I'm out. And yet, they had to be guaranteed that I would make those payments and I would be current on those payments. So what changed? Well, I would be lying to you if I told you that I understood all the banking regulations, that I read them and I knew the changes from year to year. I have no idea what they are, but I can tell you one thing that's changed. Is that the banks no longer hold the mortgage. They give me the mortgage, they collateralize it, as they say, they put it into a special investment vehicle, and they ship it off to Romania for someone to buy. You see, they absolve themselves of all the responsibility, and they ship it off, and they sell it to somebody. Let the guy in Romania worry about it. And you see, it's the bank is not taking any responsibility. They're just getting all the upfront money, maybe a couple of payments on it, and then it's goodbye. And the more loans they make, the more money they make. You see, the banks are no longer held responsible for their actions. Therein lies the problem, yet no one approaches that. No one approaches that. Okay, I want to get off the subject. I've talked too long. I think we have problems, folks, in this country, and the problems lie with our government, government programs, politicians, the bureaucrats, and all of it, and we know the answers. We know we need a libertarian form of government, one in which the government exists only to protect the rights and the freedom and the liberty of the individuals. And I don't mean it citizens, I mean all individuals. Anyone who is here. And people cannot grasp that. let's get on to Bob Barr. We have 20 minutes. Bob Barr was interviewed by... I think I have a message here. Nope. Do I have a message? Nope, I do not have a message. Yes, I do. Hold on a second. Let me see if I can get this message. I'm here by myself today. Nope, I guess it's just an AIM message from AIM, I guess. I'm not sure. Okay. Bob Barr is the Libertarian candidate for president of the United States. Now, as the Libertarian candidate, I expect that person, the person that we selected, to uphold the principles of libertarianism. Bob was interviewed by Glenn Beck, I want to say Thursday evening, and I'm not sure. I think it was Thursday evening, Friday evening, rather. And it was quite an interesting conversation. In many cases, Bob Barr talked about legislation that he approved. For example, the Patriot Act that he now would like to reverse. But in saying that, he said he'd like to reverse that. He would like to reverse that executive order, like to reverse the Patriot Act, except for certain provisions. Now, folks, that bothers me. No one understands the Patriot Act. No one has ever read the Patriot Act. The Patriot Act is not readable. It is cross-referenced to other legislation, which is cross-referenced to other executive orders, etc., etc. There is no end to it. The only way to regain our freedom is to eliminate all segments of the Patriot Act, to strike it from the books, to reverse that decision 100% for the safety and the liberty of the people here in the United States. That bothered me. Second thing that bothered me is that although we talked about freedom and liberty, and he did a good job of that, he speaks very well. I wish he would learn to smile, is on the issue of immigration. He is for strong immigration control. Well, excuse me, Mr. Barr. If you are for controlled immigration, whatever that is, if you are for controlling immigration, whatever that means, if you are one that wants to select who comes here by using some bureaucratic formula, I don't think we have a buy for you, sir. I think we have a problem. And yet, he did not denounce the building of that 700-mile fence. Now, folks, I'm not going to get into the immigration issue, but I do ask that you look at a map of the United States. Look at the border between the United States and Canada. I'm pretty sure that's over 3,000 miles long. Over 3,000 miles. Mostly desolate countries. No fence, no signs, no nothing. You would not know if you were in the United States, Canada, Alaska, or Russia standing there. You would have no idea where you're standing. Look at the border between the United States and Mexico. It pales in comparison. It is almost 2,000 miles long. In fact, I think it's 1,970 miles long, something like that. So the border between the United States and Canada may be close to 4,000 miles long. how do you protect your borders? And why would you want to protect your borders? He should have responded saying, this is a free country. We have a woman standing in the middle of the Bay of New York who says, give us your poor, your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to be free. And that's the essence of the United States. If we have jobs that people can fill and become productive citizens of the United States, we welcome them. And if they do not speak English, so what? They eventually will, like everyone else does. The same fears that we had when immigrants came from Europe into Ellis Island, and they came from Eastern Europe, Western Europe, Northern Europe, and Southern Europe. And even, you want to consider Russia, Europe, all of those countries. We had a fear index for each one of them, depending on how much they were like us. Me being of Italian descent, my family was not welcomed here. He did not address that, but he did address that we need a strong immigration policy. Let's look at the United States, the map again of the United States. How about the west coast of California, Oregon, and Seattle? We have another over 2,000 miles there of open border. And how about the Gulf of Mexico down to Key West? We have another 2,000 miles of border, and I'm only guessing. And then from Key West up to the eastern seaboard, up through Nova to Nova Scotia, I guess we have close to 2,500 or 3,000 miles again. So we have 3, 5, 7, 10. We have somewhere in the vicinity of 14,000 miles of open border. Now, Mr. Barr, would you please explain to me your program to shore up our borders, to ensure that when people come in, they're healthy, they have identification, they're not terrorists, and that they're willing to work, and they're not bad people. My goodness. Then, on the subject of 9/11, he said, well, you know, there's some people who question whether or not the story of 9/11, ba-bing, ba-bang, and this is Glenn Beck said this. He says, what is your take? He says, oh, I don't believe in anything. Mr. Barr, you know as well as I do that we don't know what happened on 9/11. And to save your political hide, you sold everyone who has lost someone and everyone in the military, out of the military, civilians, innocent people who are looking for answers as to why our government was so complicit during this entire situation, and yet we had a report that has been already denounced by those people who even wrote the report. And as Bob Bowman said in his tour, the only truth about 9/11 is that we do not know the truth about 9/11. And Mr. Barr, that's what you should have said. You didn't have to bring up the fact that there may be a conspiracy and that you thought George Bush's cousin was flying the plane and they were fake. All that garbage. I'm not talking about that. But give respect for those people who are trying to find out the truth. I didn't like that. That was number two. Number three, the war on terror. Now, I'm sure he has had occasion to listen to Ron Paul, one of my heroes. Ron Paul is one of my heroes, folks. And by the way, folks, I've been talking now for 30 minutes, 35 minutes. Our number is 646-652-4620. I'm Joe Cristiano, your host. This is Liberty Talk Radio. I have five lines. Please call in. I'm getting hoarse. 646-652-4620. 4620. If you are going to listen to this broadcast from our archives or rebroadcast, please call 918-919-0101. I'm pleading with you. Leave your questions. If we don't answer the phone, please just leave your question. Nice little lady said, please leave your message. That's all you have to do. Leave your message, and we will respond to you during our Thursday morning broadcast. Now, I know we have plenty of people listening because I get stats. And the stats sometimes are quite impressive. I'm kind of surprised that as many people do listen in, although so few people call or write in. And I guess I shouldn't be surprised that there is such a wide ratio or low ratio of call-ins versus number of speakers. Because if the millions who listen to Rush Blumbaugh, I'm sure he only gets, you know, a few dozen calls, and yet there may be a million people listening, or thousands of people listening. Anyway, the war on terror. Why did not he take the approach that my hero Ron Paul has taken? And that is, we need to define the war on terror. What the heck does that mean? The war on terror, the war on badness, the war on what? What do we have a war on? Isn't this a war on the American people for the benefit of the military-industrial complex? That's what I would have said. And that these people don't hate us. They hate what our government is doing to their country. And if the situation were reversed, we would be as reactionary as they are. Now, why didn't he say any of that? Why didn't he say, we must find a solution to convert our current relationship with the Middle East from one of being a protectorate for some of the despots there to just being trading partners and not taking sides with anyone? And folks, the oil will flow. Don't kid yourself. The oil will flow. The oil comes out of the ground. It's got to go somewhere. If people don't use it, those tankers get filled and they sit there and everything gets stopped up. It's like a stopped up toilet. You got to clean out the pipe or else, bloop, you really got a mess on your hands. And in this case, if the oil doesn't flow, they have a mess on their hands. And we only get 17%. Of our oil from the Middle East. And yet when it comes to drilling here in the United States, in the oil shales, in the Midwest, in the upper Midwest area, we are considered the Saudi Arabia of oil shale. We have enough oil in the United States if we are willing to extract it and use it. And more oil along the coast, if we're willing to extract it and use it, to last us over 300 years. Now, my point is that we're not going to need 300 years, folks, but we will need probably 20 or 30 or 40 years so that we can have that time, so the free market could eventually convert us from oil to something else, and it will take time without government intervention, and this is what Mr. Barr should have said instead of saying whatever he said. We don't have to necessarily even drill in Anwar, although it would be a good step, because we can do it cleanly. Anwar is the size of, I think, the state of Rhode Island, New Hampshire. I mean, it's the size of three or four states of the United States, small states of the United States. That's how big it is. The part that we would be drilling in would only be acres. We're not going to destroy it. We have more government intervention, more EPA intervention, and no one knows what to do because everyone is safe in government provided they do nothing. If they do nothing, they can't make a mistake. If they can't make a mistake, they can't get fired. If they can't don't get fired, they are protecting the American people. They are protecting us from all this bad stuff out there. And thank heavens that they are in office, or else all these bad people would be doing all these bad things. And Bob Barr should have said another thing. We do not need to be energy independent. Even if we, and we could be if we wanted to, but we don't have to. We can drill off the coast of, off both coasts, the Atlantic coast and the Pacific coast, and the Gulf coast, and we can start converting oil shale to oil. It'll be more expensive, but it's getting to the point where it's becoming economically viable. Let the system work. Let me sum it up by saying, folks, I was very disappointed in Mr. Barr's responses. Not all of them, but in those three I was. Very, very disappointed. And now here I am supporting a libertarian candidate who I don't feel understands the principles of libertarianism. I need to really think hard on this. I need to see how he evolves during this campaign. Because right now he is the only one that I would vote for if he is in the general election and he is allowed to run in the state of Oklahoma. Now, given a choice of Bob Barr or Barack Obama or McCain, obviously there's no question which is the best of the three. I mean, at least we get someone who's going down that road of individual freedom, individual rights, down that road. Needs a lot of fine tuning. And on a couple of subjects, I just don't understand. And I don't know how he's going to get there. You know, he probably should have spoken to me, don't you think so, before he went on the air? Well, okay, that's my rant so far on Bob Barr. Mr. Barr, I think you need to read some books on libertarianism before you go any further, and you should apologize for that interview and correct yourself. Be man enough to do so. And I mean that. That's what he should do. Hey, oh boy, 45 minutes went right through. Wow, time goes fast. This is the end of today's broadcast. We'd like to thank Ranch Acres Audiology for their financial support, and we'd like to thank you for listening in. You can further the cause of liberty by recommending this program to your friends, and let us hear from you. Our email address is comments@libertytalkradio.com, or give me a call at area code 918-919-0101. Remember, you are either allowing your liberties to be taken away, or you're striving to protect them. Unfortunately, folks, there's no middle ground. And remember, don't steal. The government hates competition. And until our next broadcast, that's Thursday morning. Let's say that would be Thursday morning, June 12th. Boy, time flies. June 12th at 6:30 a.m. Stay well. Stay tuned.